to read a passage from the 24th chapter of Matthew. I'll begin the reading with verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's reading from verse 36, continuing through verse 44. Of the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now we want to read another passage from the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." It's the first 13 verses of the 25th chapter of Matthew. Then I want to read another passage from the 13th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. That's reading from verse 32 through verse 36 of the 13th chapter of Mark. Now I want to read still another passage, and this is in the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 34, 35, and 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now you may wonder why I read so much, and all of these passages dealing with different things. You may wonder if I'm going to preach on that many different subjects. Well, I'm not. But there's a common denominator in all of these, regardless of what the subject under consideration was in each of these passages. The common denominator in all of them is to alert you and me that we would be watchful that we don't get slipped up on. Now, in all of these instances, there were some folks got slipped up on. And I feel that in whatever stage our Christian experience may be, or our spiritual lives may be, this morning, it would be good for all of us to consider the admonition that Jesus gave us in all of these passages, and to be alerted, to be watchful, that we don't get slipped up on, like these folks did. Now, in all of these cases, things happen to different people under different circumstances and in different ways. They got slipped up on, and Jesus concluded the lesson every time, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour." We can't read the future 1 hour ahead, and we don't know too much about the present. But Jesus is wanting to give us the advantage here by teaching us about different things that happen to different other people, and that it might not happen to us that way. There is something in human nature, it seems, that present company is always accepted. Whatever happened to anybody, and we see it happen to people all the time, but it won't happen to me like that. It just won't catch up with me like that. We see people go down the highway at breakneck speeds. And on down the highway somewhere, maybe we'll pass them up in the ditch. Or the car turned over and the wheels in the air. Maybe people hurt and maybe some killed. Well, we feel like it won't happen to us like that, so we get in the car and we drive down the highway at high speeds too. But it's just as apt for a slip to be made on my part as it was that other fellow's part. I came up on an accident one night. I was going from Fresno, California, back down to Glendale when I was living down there. And I came up on this accident, and there was a truck and two or three cars involved in this accident. And one car was turned over, or halfway over, I guess it was, right in the middle of the highway, and two men laying dead right there under that car. Well, there was quite a crowd of folks gathering there pretty quick. I came up soon after it happened. There wasn't so many there, but they were gathering, and they got there pretty quick, quite a crowd of them. And I heard a fellow next to me say to the other one, he kind of nudged the fellow, and he said, "Let's see. So many miles now to Oakland, and 45 miles an hour, how long will it take us to get there?" Well, he's thinking about this accident. And he wasn't going to drive too fast when he went away from there. It was going to slow him down. But I doubt if it slowed him down very long. Those things don't stay with people. They just feel immune themselves. It won't happen to me like that. That fellow made a slip some way or other, but I won't make a slip like that. It has seemed to me that the liquor traffic should die a natural death in just two or three generations. Son, seeing what it did to their father, had ruined him. The trouble and the heartache and distress and poverty it brought to their family, maybe, and in their home, they would just naturally conclude, "I don't want to touch that stuff. I see how it ruined Daddy, and I don't want anything to do with that stuff." But somehow or other, they just go right on and follow in Daddy's footsteps, and they think it won't get me like it got Daddy. But sooner or later, it'll get anybody that dabbles with it. But everybody feels that it won't happen to me. That's what Jesus is trying to shake you and me out of here. In these passages that I read, the different illustrations that he gave here, things that happened to different people, he's trying to shake you and me out of that apathy and that lethargy and that feeling of self-security and self-sufficiency. It won't happen to me like it happened to other folks. It seemed to me that they ought not to have any laws governing liquor traffic. That just the natural outcome and observation would kill the thing. And pretty soon no one would want it. But I suppose they're drinking more in America today than they ever have before in the history of the country. And we've got more alcoholism. Of course, we've got more people. And I don't know how the percentage runs. It may not run a great deal higher than it has in former times. But with the population increase, the population of alcoholism increases too. Right along with it, and just goes right along.
Yes.
And no doubt there's more drinking in the country today than there's ever been before. Now we see what this does to folks. I think I related a few Sundays ago here about some applications that were in for liquor stores in Glendale, California. And the people in these areas, some of the areas, where that the liquor stores were to be established, they got up in arms against it and presented a petition to the board of that governs those things against it. And you know what those fellas said? They said, we have a shortage of liquor stores in Glendale, and so many more needed here now than what we have. Shameful, wasn't it? But it looks like it ought to be dying. It's just well and prospering. Going on. That's the way with sin of every kind. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That means you and me too. We see sin ruining people. And we see them down in conditions, and we say, oh, I sure would hate to be in that fellow's shoes. I hope I never come to that, and we feel secure that we won't. But he started out just like we did. Just a little shift of circumstances, a little change of environments. Maybe by now we'd have been in his place and he'd have been in ours. We don't want to ever get to feeling too secure, people. Whatever has ever happened to anyone else, that same thing can happen to me if I don't watch myself. And Jesus is wanting to help us here. Now, we have a case in the 5th chapter of Daniel, a king named Belshazzar. Now, he had an example before him, and he had been an eyewitness, direct knowledge of what happened to his father, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up in pride. And because he was, God had to bring him low. And he brought him so low, down from his high pinnacle, the Bible said his greatness reached to heaven, really exalted, but he brought him down so low that he grew nails like claws And he ate straw like the ox and lived out among the beasts for 7 years. That's pretty low, isn't it? Now Belshazzar knew all of this. Daniel referred him right back to this when Daniel dealt with him at the time of his downfall. Daniel said, you knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You saw that. You knew how God brought him down, and you should have feared God. But he didn't. He was affected with pride just like his father was, and followed right in his footsteps and went the same way to his own destruction. He could have profited by what he had seen of the doings of God with his father. The things that he had witnessed, knew firsthand. He could have profited by that, but he was so proud and lifted up in his heart, he just felt like it won't happen to me like that. And he just went right on beyond what his father had done. God brought him down too. I knew a man, and the man had very desirable things about him. A number of very desirable things. But he had some things that were pretty trying about him too. Like I do, maybe. Some of the rest. But anyhow, there were some things that is pretty trying about him. But one night in meeting, his son got up and made some remarks and went to the board and wrote something up out on the board. And this man came to me after meeting and he said, I wish he wouldn't do things like that. And I just looked right at him. I didn't say anything, but I thought, well, just a chip off the old block. I'd seen him do the same or similar things, see. Well, people make pretty critical remarks about their forebears. And some of the undesirable traits about them in their disposition and their makeup. They had some undesirable things about them. And people have been able to see that, recognize that, and make some rather critical remarks about their forebears. But the same things just cropping right out in them. You can just see them manifesting the same thing. Well, they inherited it. It's deep in their nature. They can see it in their mothers and their daddies, but they can't see the same things in themselves. And they'll say, well, my mother was this way, or my daddy was this way, and he made things kind of miserable for the family sometimes by just the way he was. That is just his disposition, his nature is just deep in him, and he was just that way, and he kind of made things disagreeable around home sometimes through that. But the same thing, they've inherited it, and it's just working right out in them. They should be able to see it in themselves and whip it while they can. Take a stand against it. Seek God to deliver them from it. My platform is this. We believe and teach that a full and free and uttermost salvation, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivers us from and purges out from us that we got from Adam.
Amen.
And has come down the line to all of his posterity.
Yes.
Why would it not be reasonable then to suppose that the same kind of salvation, to the same extent, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, would deliver me from what I got from my daddy, the same as what I got from Adam, if I got some undesirable traits from my daddy some way or other? If we can see it in them, we should be able to see it in ourselves and seek God to deliver us and give us victory, that we wouldn't go on and follow in the same footsteps. Now, we have a text in the 49th Psalm in verse 10. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perisheth. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Now it's evident that things don't continue forever as they are in this life or in this material world. And our lives, Job said, are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and spent without hope. Now that does not mean that we have no hope of better things in the future than have been in the past, if things have been bad, or if they're bad now, that we have no hope of them being better tomorrow than what they are today. We live our lives in hope. But what this text means is that our days pass by rapidly and we have no hope of continuing them. We have no hope of staying here. There's never been a man yet that ever come here and stayed. They've all gone on the way of all the earth. Then why should I suppose that I'm going to stay? I'm not here to stay. Yet he said, this their way is their folly. That's the way humankind is. And their posterity approve their saying. We approve their sayings. We approve their way of life by our way of life. And by the feeling that we have that I'll escape somewhere or other. And we go on planning and scheming and working and acquiring as though we expected to live here forever. And we don't have any hope of doing it. But by these means we approve the sayings of our forebears, those who have been here and gone on. They lived their lives that way. We're living ours that way, maybe. Speaking generally of humanity, they're living their lives that way. I hope we're not. I hope we're alerted. I hope we're watching. And that we're being attentive to the circumstances about us and the evidences that we have. We see things happen to people. We see people drop like that with heart attacks. I've seen that different times in my life. I was at a meeting one night in our community, and the man right two or three places down from me, he was making some remarks. He was up standing by the table making some remarks. And he just kind of groaned and went over on the table like that. And he straightened up and tried to go on, and he just crumpled down dead right there at my feet nearly. Well, I saw that. I saw another man. I was visiting him. And we were talking. And it was just like that. Something hit him and he groaned, and I went over to him. He was just gone. I was sitting right there visiting with him. Well, I've seen these things happen. You have too. But somehow or other, we think, well, it won't catch me like that. That won't happen to me. I knew a man that was stricken with a cerebral hemorrhage. Have you ever seen anyone have what we call a stroke? A cerebral hemorrhage. This man was living in an upstairs apartment, and on this particular morning he had walked down the stairs to get his morning paper that was delivered down there on the street. He got his paper and started back up the stairs, and this hit him. And he just crumpled right there. And men had to be called to help him get back up to his apartment. But as they were taking him, before he lost consciousness, he was just going into unconsciousness, he said, "I never thought I'd ever come to this." Well, perhaps he'd seen other men come to that. Maybe he'd helped some of them when they had. But he just never thought it'd ever happen to him. "I just never thought I'd ever come to this." Well, he lapsed on into unconsciousness. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he passed on into eternity. Never regained consciousness. As far as I know, he wasn't a saved man. He wasn't prepared for that. But he just felt like, "I've seen this happen to other men. Maybe I've helped other men when this did happen to them, but I just never thought it ever happened to me." We see the foolish virgins all along the way. People that are failing to keep up to date and keep a good supply of oil in their vessels. And we see them failing of the grace of God, but somehow we figure we'll escape. I can go along, I can be careless here, reckless there, neglect my Christian duties and all, and get involved in different things, but it won't happen to me like that. I'm going to keep spiritual. But you're not going to keep spiritual any more than them folks did. We see them as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage and knew not until the day that Noah entered the ark and God shut the door. And the flood of waters came upon the earth and they all perished. But we think, well, we can eat and drink and marry and given in marriage and build and go on living like we were going to live forever and planning and scheming and all that way. But it won't catch me that way. Just before I get to that point, it just won't catch me. But if you live that kind of a life, it'll catch you just like it did them. That's what Jesus is trying to get to us here in this lesson. In all of these instances, he sums up, after he's told what happened to different people, watch you therefore. Don't let it catch you that way. Let us not be caught in arrears. We have in the 13th chapter of Luke, Jesus calling their attention to two calamities that befell different people. And in one case, Pilate had mingled their blood with their sacrifices. In another case, a tower fell on 18 of them and killed them, destroyed them. In both cases, he said, do you suppose that these people were sinners above all the sinners in Jerusalem? Oh, we're inclined to say yes. That's just God's judgment on them for their sins. And we think they just got so bad that God punished them. Jesus said that wasn't the way it was. He said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now what was the matter with these fellows? They just got caught unawares. Time run out on them. They could have repented if they would. Maybe they intended to sometime or other. Maybe they thought, I'll get things straightened out sometime or other. But time ran out on them. It caught up with them. And they perished. Well, but it won't happen with me like that. Yes, it will. If you play fast and loose with God and dabble around with God and with your convictions and the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart, it'll happen to you just like that. Jesus said that, except ye repent, ye'll all likewise perish. He wanted us to be alerted to the fact that these things are happening to people. And if he hadn't have told us, we know they're happening to people anyway. Because we see it happening all around us. Have you seen anybody so involved in material things and worldly things that they didn't have time to attend to their Christian duties? I said to a man once, he used to always bring his wife to church services down there at Glendale, California, but he'd never come. I don't know if I ever saw him in the meeting house all the time I was down there. He wouldn't come, but I'd meet him out there when he'd bring her, and I'd shake hands with him and visit with him a little bit. And I said to him, I said, Ed, we'd like to have you come to meeting. You bring your wife down here. You ought to come to meeting too. He said, "Ostis, I don't have time." Says, "I have to make a living." Said, "I've got to work." Wasn't very long after I had that little conversation with him on that particular point that he was stricken in the night with a heart attack and died before morning. Well, he went out unprepared to meet God, so far as I know. But that's one man that I know that was so involved in the things of life that he didn't have time to serve God. Well, we see that. We see people like that all the time. And we get like that too if we don't watch, but we figure I'll get by with it. I'm not going to get caught like that person did. But Jesus knew that we would, and he's trying to admonish us here to be careful, to be watchful, that we don't get slipped up on like other folks. Be alert and spend the days of our sojourn here in reverence and godly fear. Amen.